An alcoholic drinks every day, but they don't get drunk.
Sure. Yeah. How did that happen for you?
I was depending on alcohol.
Do you think alcohol is spiritual?
You know, God will, that's when God will speak to you, because now you couldn't get your attention. In order for him to get your attention, he has to put you in a situation where, you know, you are now forced. Now I'm in a shake, I'm forced, it's raining. You know, there are rats running around. I'm not used to it. I hate alcohol by passion. That thing almost ruined my life. Yeah.
And how you passionately say, I hate alcohol.
You have no idea.
Comes from the heart.
Yeah, it's those prayers.
Are you still drinking?
Hell no. I've been through the most.
Been through the most. Hey, Sand Fam, hope you are good. And wow, we are so delighted that you could join us today. It is I've Been Through the Most podcast right here on Ascend Twins TV. We are on the road to 500,000 subscribers. We want to thank you, Sand Fam, for really participating and helping this dream come to pass. Because it's not just for us. When we create this content, we're creating it for you. So basically, this is for us as a community. Also, we encourage you to interact in the comment section down below. Mm-hmm. Your comments are very, very important to us. We respond to all the comments. Well, at least we try. Okay. You can also send us your feedback on email. The email address is down below. We're also available on our different social media platforms, Instagram, X, TikTok. We are everywhere. The promos are exclusively created for you. We also post them on our show. So give them some great thumbs up there and leave a comment, because again, it is created for you. Yes, and try not to skip the ads. We need to keep the lights on. So please help us with just that little bit of, you know, extra time when the ads play. Just try not to skip them. And also, it would not be a podcast if we were not available in our audio platforms. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I mean, and of course, you are watching us on YouTube. So you are absolutely welcome. And today's episode is going to be incredible. This guest is coming back for the third time.
Come on.
But I think for the podcast is the second time.
It's the second time. Yes.
So his part one was still when the show was a documentary series. Then he came, and then we spoke 2 years ago. And now he is back with a different story, because he is just that guy that is used by God. Welcome, Muhau.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're good.
Happy
thank
to
you.
See you.
Yeah, lovely to see you guys too.
Sure. How have you been?
It's been a journey. It's been a wild journey. Mm. Yeah. All I can say is that, you know, being here, like, you know, a lot of people, like you said earlier, you know, a lot of people think that life is easy after that. And honestly, it's not. It just goes down the rabbit hole after that.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's what I experienced.
Yeah.
So, and I'm here to talk about it.
And you're here to talk about it. I think for those of you who can't remember his story, he spoke about his heaven and hell experience. And both of his episodes did very, very well. But, you know, I love that you came back to tell the story of what happened next in your life. Because, of course, your encounters were so super, super natural.
Yeah.
But what happened after that? But first, maybe for those who don't know who Muhau is, can you introduce yourself to our audience?
Yeah, my name is Muhau Malope. Yeah, so I was born and raised in Limpopo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I spent most of my childhood days in Bela Bela.
Okay.
Because of school, I went to boarding school, so I was there from grade one all the way to matric. Yeah, I started film and television. Yeah, here in Johannesburg. Yeah, and then here am I.
Here you are. Yeah. Awesome. I think it's just a brief, because you know, it's been so long since you've been here, to just give us your previous experience before we get into why you're here today, that you had, you know, an encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
And how was that? Just briefly.
Yeah. Actually, I'm seeing you guys for the fourth time. Remember?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the fourth time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you're a friend to the show now. It's official.
Yeah. So, I came here the first time to speak about my heaven and hell experience.
Mm.
Yeah, and then you requested that I come back for part two.
Mm.
And then I came, and then there was a podcast that I came here as well.
Yeah.
So now I'm here to speak about, you know, so it's in connection with it, but it's more like what happens to me after that.
Mm.
You know, because obviously, you know, the enemy, Satan, is not going to just leave you.
Mm-hmm.
Say a message like that and then just live your life. you know, especially if you're genuinely saying it, you know, if it's genuine, if the message is genuine, yeah. So I was here to speak about my heaven and hell experience, and how the experience I had in hell and the experience of meeting Jesus and suicide, seeing my friend all over again in hell. Yeah, so that's what I was here for. So now I'm here to speak about the dangers of alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got there. What was the journey like? Shoo, interesting one. You can go ahead.
Yeah, so for me, how can I put it? It doesn't happen immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is why you don't see it happen. Yeah, so I think that's what a lot of people misjudge. You know, they think that it's like any other addiction, you know. Because when we look at drugs, we addiction, we're thinking hardcore drugs like, I don't know, nyaupe or all these drugs that are all over, crystal meth. But through my experience, I can guarantee you that alcohol is also one of them. The difference is that it creeps up on you slowly and gradually, like before you know it, it either killed you or it's delayed your life. It's ruined your reputation, you know, even your face. It ages you quicker, you know. And even your speech, you know, it changes from being this respectful guy to somebody who can easily start swearing at anyone, you know. And even you start becoming a very dishonest person, you know, because that's what I saw with myself.
Yeah.
Remember I said to you guys that I studied film and television.
Yes.
And so part of my job is that I was doing photography.
Okay.
Yeah. So at some point I was not faithful to my clients. You know, there are people that it's not many that are disappointed, you know, I would go out drink the night before and I would go and drink at that person's wedding. You know, and I'm supposed to deliver, you know, it's a slow process. I spend all that money, that deposit money, you know. And yeah, baby showers, some of them, I would show up late, you know what I'm saying?
Because
and I'm smelling of alcohol.
Having a hangover from the night before.
Yeah, that, you know. And yeah, those were the business decision, poor decision making I've made in terms of my business. And I would like to start by apologizing to those people. You know, I wish I could reach them because some of them, I don't have their numbers. I can't reach them, you know. And I can't start a good new life and a new journey with God without having to fix my past mistakes, you know. Yeah. So if I had to sit down with them, if it meant that I can sit down with them and apologize, it's not all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, my entire, between when I started 2013 and 2022, I've done 52 weddings. And out of all of them, I can say I've disappointed about 4 people.
Okay.
Yeah. But still, I can't go on without, I have to, because it's God first before anyone. And God doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. So I'm actually here to speak about my experience on alcohol because people have excuses for it. You know, people will say to you, I drink once a year and that's okay. And I just one glass of wine. I've tried everything, you know? Yeah. It doesn't work.
Would you say you were addicted to alcohol?
Yeah. So let me tell you the difference between an alcoholic and a drunkard. An alcoholic drinks every day, but they don't get drunk.
Sure.
They can come here. It's like those people that... It's like those people that we grew up, they're like... they drink one glass of whiskey and then they go to bed, you know? And then it deprives you from your natural self-esteem. You know, because now you can't do things sober. You need that glass, you know? And if you look at your track record, you've been doing it the whole year, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. A drunkard is somebody who drinks and they get drunk. They pass out and they do that. And then you're like, yeah, that's a drunkard. But these people are the same.
Sure.
Yeah. There is no difference between one glass, 1 year, and six beers. The same thing. And that's why I'm saying it creeps up on you like that. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people look at a drunkard and then they're like, he has a problem.
Mm.
You know?
An alcoholic, yeah, don't see a problem, you don't because see. They don't get drunk.
Yeah. I know an actor friend of mine, respectfully I can't say the name, who used to go on set, who he couldn't go and perform sober. And I would see him on a show, on a series.
He had something to
do. Yeah. He was drinking when he was with me. You know, yeah, this is like when 2014.
Sure, but how did you get to that level of drinking? You know, did it start slowly for you?
Mm.
You know, what prompted that? Because most of the time, it's when people are trying to overcome something or they're going through some sort of maybe stress or depression, you know, because
to numb something.
Yeah. To numb something. Yeah. How did that happen for you?
It's like a small... I don't know, what do you call a baby snake? Because, you know, a lion is like a cub. Yes. So I don't know what a baby snake is.
Mm.
It's like a small snake.
Yeah.
You're not going to play around with that thing, even if it was born today. A snake is a snake.
Yeah.
A cobra is a cobra. You know, it can bite you as old as it is.
Yeah.
And you still die, right? Even if it's this long, you know? So... the more you play around with it, what happens? It grows. You know, it's small snake. You know, it's that thing is born with a venom that's meant to kill. That's all it knows.
Mm.
When are you playing around with it? Then it grows. Ah, no, this is my small pet. what?
Mm.
Before you know it, it's huge. Now you're scared of it. And then what happens? It bites you and you're dead. Right? Same thing applies to alcohol. It starts with that one drink. One drink for a year. You're saying to yourself, it's my birthday. I'm just going to have one glass. That's how it starts. Small snake. Looks like it doesn't.
So you were drinking for fun?
Yeah.
Entertainment? It wasn't anything big. It was just social vibes?
The excuse is very small in the mm-hmm. beginning. Ah, it's my cousin's baby shower. You know what? Oh. I'm just unwinding. Mm. You know? Yeah. It's always a small excuse. There is no reason. You know?
There's no need.
You can have 1,000 excuses
why
you're drinking, but you won't have one reason. That's the difference.
Because the last time you were here, right? Mm. You spoke about your encounter with Jesus and how you had the visitation in your room and everything. And, I mean, completely changed your life.
Yeah.
But then you said that if there's one thing that you still struggle with was alcohol. And you said, no, like, I still do drink.
One
you know?
Glass. Every
like
now and
a
then.
Glass and then and then and then, you know.
Exactly.
I remember that. Yeah, and you're just like, that's a bit of a struggle that you need to still fight with.
Fight it, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And how is that going? Did you go to rehab? Did you, because obviously we now not referring to yourself as a casual drinker, you referring to yourself as somebody who was now addicted and dependent on alcohol at some point,
so
right?
So it like I said, it starts with that excuse.
Yes.
I'm just drinking, it's just wild.
So what then happened from that conversation that we had after you left?
So now what happens is that the devil sees a loophole. Oh, no, it's wine. He uses it to unwind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, the devil works 10 times harder than you, harder than you think, just to look for a small hole so he can enter. So he sees, okay, fine, that's an opportunity. So now he starts making me, remember, even at that time I was unemployed.
Mm.
And I didn't have camera equipment to go shoot, you know. So now every time I'm stressed, I would be like, let me go drink, you know. So that became a habit. Gradually, like I say, let's go back to the snake story. It keeps on growing to a point where I got to a point where I couldn't handle it anymore. Mm. I was depending on alcohol. Like I said, you get to a point where you can't even do things sober. Mm. You know, how can I put it? Social anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And trust me, throughout that journey, there was never a day I woke up and I was like, wow, I'm glad I drank. No, there was no idea I was happy.
So it's you feel you regret, or
you feel worse.
You feel ashamed, or you feel like you feel worse.
Worse than before you even started.
But you're gonna do it again.
Yeah, because now in order to get rid of that feeling, you need to drink more.
Do you think alcohol is spiritual in a way?
Yeah. So alcohol is one. Actually, let me put it this way: is remember when you watch TV, let's say you watch TV on a normal day, right? How many times, within an hour, how many times do you see alcohol advert? Like a lot, more than anything, it's alcohol. Because that's where the money is, you know? So, and I'm not trying to start beef with these alcohol people who sell brands. I'm just making an example.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just to recap, what did you say about your question?
Do you think it's spiritual?
Yeah, it is. Remember the umbrella of alcohol, let me put it that way. So it's alcohol, né? And everything else that comes with it. Anger, lack of respect, uncontrollable anxiety.
Violence,
I was about to say that. You know, you can't even have a normal conversation. Like, you can't. Okay, let me give you an example. On a daily basis, when you wake up, you go through emotions, everything. But for me, I'm sure, because I came a bit late, right? At some point, you felt like, why is he doing that? But I can't see that, because now you have this wall of discipline that's blocking that. For us not to see that. It's a filter, right? That's blocking that. If I step on your toes by mistake and I say sorry, you're going to forgive me. But that doesn't mean you didn't become angry at that moment. Right? That little anger showed up.
The emotions are there. The feelings are there. They're valid. Yeah.
Yes, right? They're there. Every day you get home, your husband does something. He's a human being, just like everybody else. Something you don't like. But you oversee it, because then you're sober, you know? Yeah. That filter is there to block all those things. But what alcohol does, it removes that thing completely.
Mm.
Yeah. So now you don't have a filter.
Yeah.
So now that's why, there are so many stories.
I think we are all remembering something that someone did or said when they were drunk. I'm like, man, it makes sense. No wonder, man. It's like it's like you can't calculate your risk. Like, they can't read the room,
nothing.
They just go for it. It's just like, just you say, what?
That's why a person who drinks, they can say, even if they're drunk, they don't mind driving from here to my melody in 2 a.m. They can't calculate the risk because of that discipline filter is gone now.
Sure.
You know, that's why I don't know how many times I've been to a tavern and I see people fight, and you ask, why are they fighting? Ah, this one stepped on this one's toes or on this one's shoes. And you look at it, the one guy is bleeding, blah, 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 for stepping on your shoes. You know, because that filter now is gone. Alcohol removes it. That's why I'm saying the umbrella of alcohol and everything else that comes with it. You know how many people die in December? It's either half of them die because they were drunk, or half of them are killed by the drunk people.
Even driving.
Yeah.
Included in that.
Included in that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the numbers go high.
Exactly.
Extremely high. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about you and your journey. Because you saw it's a problem and it's out of hand, rehabilitation, like Millie asked, did you consider rehabilitation? Did you go to rehabilitation?
I did.
Where are you now? How was your journey for rehab, and who took you there? Was it, you know?
Voluntary.
Life.
Voluntary. Yeah. Ooh, did you volunteer
English.
to go to rehab?
Life. I don't know if I said this the last time. You shouldn't wait for life to force you to quit alcohol. Otherwise, life can make you quit alcohol on a wheelchair. After that one accident that people have been warning, stop drinking, driving, for years and years. Right? All those warnings. And then now you're in a car accident, you don't have legs anymore. That's when life forces you to quit. You understand?
So don't wait for
that day. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Even don't even drink. Quit that thing. You know. So life forced me, you know. Mm. I got robbed on the day that I'm supposed to pay rent.
Yo.
Like what a coincidence.
Robbed?
And, yeah. Rent money, phone. But they even took my shoes. You know.
Where were you? Were you walking?
I used to stay in Tembisa at that time. Mm. Yeah. So my mom sends me rent money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I go and I withdraw. On my, so when I get there, I'm like, you know what? Let me just have a few beers. You know.
Mm.
Few beers, I'll be good. Fine. Those few beers, they turn into four. Four turns into six. Mm. Now I have to go home. I'm drunk. But I can remember everything, right? I have rent money. Remember I said filter. You can't even calculate the risks.
Yes,
you know?
So I've got money. I can't walk late.
Yeah, and it's rent money. You don't even think, you know? Mm. Yeah. There were four guys with guns and everything.
Shoo.
Yeah, they even took my shoes. And I remember, I remember one of them stepped on my my head. Yeah, kicked me in the head. And they were like, we're taking everything. I was like, really? Yeah. Serious, guys. Yeah. We're taking everything. Damn it. And I'm thinking, oh, no. I'm either going to die now. And it was raining. It was around February. It was raining. Yeah. So they did take the phone, everything. Now I don't have rent. I get to my place. I sleep. The following day, the landlord can't get a hold of me. I'm like, let me go out. When I come back, the landlord locked. All my stuff are locked inside. I'm still wearing the same clothes I got robbed in.
No shoes.
The shoes I changed. But from the time I walked bare feet. Yeah. A distance, raining, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. And at that point, I had to live in a shack with a friend of mine, you know.
What did your mom say?
At that point, she didn't know anything.
Oh, yes, I'm scared of. Call her.
I don't have a phone.
They took your phone.
Yeah.
But you could have called her from somebody else's phone.
I'm ashamed because she's been warning me about this alcohol thing. Yeah.
Because she'd be like, you weren't drinking. What did you expect?
Yeah.
And I gave you like my last money
exactly.
Or, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Worst part. When I did finally tell her, she's like, nah, you didn't get robbed. You went and you drank it and I warned you about alcohol. You see? Yeah. Obviously, they don't trust you anymore when you're drinking. When you're drinking a lot, you know.
So that moment is what forced you then to go to rehab.
I mean,
that
shack.
Was your turning point.
Yeah,
being in that shack.
I'm thinking I've been wearing the same clothes for like 3 weeks now.
Yo,
I can't even bath the way I know myself. You know, nothing. The guy I came with now, he was there. He knows everything.
Mm.
Yeah, I came with him as a witness because he knows. Everything, right? Sure. At that point, I needed to. That's when I'm saying, God, you know, God will. That's when God will speak to you because now you couldn't get your attention. In order for Him to get your attention, He has to put you in a situation where you know you are now forced. Now I'm in a shake. I'm forced. It's raining. You know, there are rats running around. I'm not used to that. You know, I'm sleeping in a position where, like, I enjoy sleeping and watching YouTube videos and I sleep while they play. You know, I don't have that privileges anymore. They're all gone. Now I have to go call my mom. Tell my mom, I'm like, mom, let me come home.
Sure.
Right? Come home. I explain to her. I'm like, you know what? I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah.
Mom was like, nah, we have a church here at home. It's fine. Leave your clothes. Don't worry. We'll sort that out.
Mm.
Yeah. So my pastors came. We prayed. After I prayed, I made a decision. I'm like, you know what? Let me go to the church rehab. We have a rehab at our church.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But like the main church.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me go to the church rehab and sign myself there. I stayed there for 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And worst part, I was sleeping next to people that had far worse problems. With the guy I was sleeping next to was struggling with crystal meth.
Sure.
Yeah. I still have his video in my phone of him. On his last day, he was celebrating. He was like, hey, man, Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
Look how I look. And I when I compare him to the day he came, he looked terrible, just like me. I looked terrible. Didn't even have clothes. You know,
sure.
I checked myself in there. You know, there was counseling. You know, we were praying. Yo, we were praying a lot a day, like 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, we ate at 6, we ate 9 o'clock at night, 12 at night, 3 o'clock in the morning.
It is a church rehab. They'll take it to church, okay?
Yeah. We pray a lot. 2 hours rest in between the whole day. Yeah. Wow. Only 2 hours.
Sure.
You go back and you pray. If you don't pray, they will make you pray.
Good.
You see?
Yeah.
Yeah, they make you pray. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. And that's how I left. I remember when I left, I'm like, but the pastor was preaching. Because, you know, there's always this 10-minute encouragement service. Yeah. And then we pray for like 45 minutes. Sure. The rest of the minute, nonstop. Wow. Yeah, and every Thursday, all night prayer.
Yeah,
so every Thursday you get used to it.
Yes,
now yeah. It comes out. Yeah, you come back. Yeah, you will hate alcohol. I hate alcohol by passion. That thing almost ruined my life. So yeah, the pastor was like to all of us, listen, that tavern will never leave.
Mm.
Yeah, the tavern will always be there. It's up to you. That's why here we teach you to pray so you can stand up for yourself. Yes. Even when we are not here.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now your body gets used to it. Mm. You know, you get used to 9 o'clock. I know. You know, even if you're sleeping at home, you're like, I know, maybe something is happening. Oh. You check the time. Oh, 9, time to pray.
Wow.
Then you start praying. 12, same thing. 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hate alcohol. You know, I remember I was taking a taxi. And I needed to go to the loo,
yeah.
Right? The mall didn't have water. There were signs there. No water in the toilet. Mm. So now I went back to the taxi ring, and I asked them, where can I pee? And sorry if that word is not appropriate.
Mm.
Yeah, where can I go to the loo?
Mm.
They said, go across the road. There's a tavern there. Go inside.
Hey.
I'm like, all right, cool. Let me go.
Yeah.
Ah, starting from the smell. The smell. Just I couldn't handle the smell. The it felt loud. There wasn't a lot of people because it was during the week, during the day. You know, I felt like I'm in an unclean place.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's when there was a confirmation for me that I quit this thing. And I was like, when you were doing it, when I was doing it, I wasn't seeing all those things.
Ooh.
Yeah. I felt belonging. You know, I felt like I belonged there.
Yeah.
You know when you belong to something?
Mm.
You don't see what the other people are seeing. That's why if you tell somebody that alcohol is not good for you, they don't see what you are seeing from a sober perspective.
Yeah.
That's why they argue, they want to reason, you know, they want to tell you 100 reasons why they're drinking.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
Yeah. So now I get to see, to this day, I get to see what other people are not seeing.
And I think that's what's important about you sharing your story, because it's all about perspective, right?
Yeah.
If somebody else is in, for example, like what you say, if you're in there, you seem different to somebody that's out there, right? But because you have been in both sides, you have a different perspective that somebody can then listen and relate.
Yeah.
And I think that's why platforms like this are important, because you sometimes feel like, no, but you can't tell me anything. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know the feeling. You don't know what I'm going through. So it's important that you, having had that experience that you have, then have both perspectives. So then you can share it in that way, and how you passionately say, "I hate alcohol."
You have no idea.
Comes from the heart.
Yeah, it's those prayers, prayers. Yeah, I don't like alcohol anymore. I can't even stand somebody that speaks to me and they smell alcohol. I can't.
And I was about to say, are you still drinking?
Hell no.
Are you an occasional drinker?
I don't even touch alcohol. Like, I remember a friend of mine, we were walking.
So after rehab, that was it?
Over. Wow. I was delivered fully delivered.
And how long has it been? Let's put it that way.
It's now it's 118 days.
Wow!
Yeah, and that's an achievement.
That's a lot.
The last time I drank, I was with this friend of mine that I came with.
Wow.
That was the last time I drank. I tell him this every day. You remember the last time? And I told you that.
And I'm sure that day you were like, I'm done.
Yeah. He didn't know. Next time he saw me, he saw it different. Now he sees him, he's like, damn, this guy, he was serious.
I'm you so can proud see. Of you. I am so proud of you. You know, I speak to Maha regularly. Like, he updates me about what's happening in his life. And, you know, when he told me about this specific topic, he's like, I have a burning issue that I really want to share because my life has completely changed.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, and for me, it's huge. Beautiful that you are helping huge. Young people. I know that you do talks in churches, that people invite you to come and talk to young people, especially the youth, because obviously the youth and groove, it's like, you know, it's a thing. It's a thing. And they feel like alcohol is part of their lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's part of fitting in and so forth. And it's important for you to go and have these talks. How's that going?
It's not easy. It's not easy because now you're fighting. It's like you're fighting 1,000 people and you're alone. You know, it's not an easy battle because these people have questions. The one thing that they always tell me, and it's an excuse. And they always say,
you'll quote the Bible.
Maybe it's because when you were getting drunk, you don't know how to handle it. You were overdoing it. It's because of that.
Okay.
Yeah, they say that. I know my limits. I can handle it. When are you overdoing it? Oh, okay. We'll see. When it forces you to stop, then you will tell me.
Yo.
Yeah.
And then in terms of scripture, because you obviously speak in churches as well, how people say drinking is not a sin, but getting drunk is a sin. I'm sure you've got that as well. And how do you approach that?
So I'm not going to lie, right? I approach it from a, I don't want to be, how can I put it? There are people that are in church, but they still living a different life. They're there because they like, how can I put it? They like, you know how social media can
it's
change.
It's like a trend.
Yeah. It can change people's perspective about you. You know, now you posted in church. Ah, wow, this person, at least they know God. So the reason why for now, I don't particularly have scriptures, and I know they're there, right? It's because I don't want to focus on believers only. Even though, this is for the believers. Yes. This is meant for them, right? But also I want to
help everybody.
Everyone also to come and believe. You know? Okay, fine. You know, you can't force somebody to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Even though it's my wish for them to see it from a born-again point of view, perspective, you know. So I don't want somebody to say to me, you're teaching me about this because you're only doing it because you're born again. No, I also want somebody who says, I'm not born again, but I'm staying away from that thing. You know, just an open. I'm not encouraging not being born again.
Yes. I hear you.
I just pray people understand this part.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do. That's why, even if people invited me to go speak at a school.
Yes.
Right, I want to be neutral. And then whoever comes to me afterwards, that's when I can tell them about Jesus. You know what? What really, really made me stop is receiving
Christ.
Come
on now.
Because some people are, maybe they have different beliefs that it's cool. You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to limit. You don't want to limit yourself. You know, you want to touch everybody with your story. And then if there is somebody out there who says, please help me, give me some counseling and stuff, then I introduce Christ, you know.
Yeah, so you have an approach. So your approach is to first, get everybody's attention.
Yes.
And then when you have their attention, then you introduce Christ.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm. And isn't it funny how God now uses something like that happened to you, as an experience. And now it almost turns into a ministry. And then he uses you to change other people's lives through your story.
Yeah.
How important is it to be obedient to that? Because sometimes we learn lessons, but we fail to then see the lesson. And we also fail to hear how God can use us through that mess into a message.
Yeah, so thing is, God is. I don't know if the word stupid is the correct word, but he's not like that. You know, he's very smart God. He knows your heart, right? So if you say you don't drink, but then you're living a different life, he's gonna expose you. And he waits for the day that everyone is watching. Then he exposes you. You understand? I don't know how many, I was watching a documentary on one of the television stations. So this guy was a gospel singer. So one thing he said, he was Like, whenever they would book him, after they pay, he would take some of the money and throw a party and drink, binge drinking, you know. And guess what? God exposed him. He lost everything, you know. He waits for the day where everyone is watching to expose you. So that's why I'm scared of God, by all means. He's exposed me so many times. That's why.
And it's because he loves you. I think we also need to emphasize that. Sometimes you have to get to that point where you feel rock bottom so that he can create something new out of you, because maybe he's been communicating to you and you're not listening. Now he has to put you in that place where he leaves you with no option
but
to want to find him. You know, he's so desperate for your attention that he will do whatever it takes to place you in the perfect position where you are finally aligned with him, can hear him, and that's where he can save you.
You see, another important thing, and I agree with you, is even when coming to relationships, I always tell people that, look, if you are a born-again Christian, make sure that whoever you are about to date, they first have to be saved. Never ever say that that person, you know, they're going to be saved because of me. No. It doesn't work like that. That's your downfall. That's the beginning of your downfall. Which is why whenever you're about to be in a relationship, don't look at the things you like about the person. Just start looking by the things you hate about the person. You know, one of the first rule for me.
Yeah.
And this is just me.
Number one, deal breaker.
They have to be saved. Yeah.
If you're not saved, no consideration. Forget about it.
Yeah.
So are you dating now?
Yes, I am dating now.
Okay, a believer. My
fully, well, of fully course. Believer.
Fully.
Yeah. And some of the reason why I look better than I used to is because of her. Because now we can pray together.
Come on now.
Yeah, because now we can. She doesn't drink. And I told God, I was like, I don't want to date someone who drinks one drink a year. Alcohol
is
not good. Yeah, people who drink alcohol, they lie a lot. You know, they can save something you did for them in a relationship 2 years ago. And then they wait for that day, their tips, and then they tell you about it. That's when you're going to know that alcohol, it's unforgiving. It teaches you unforgiveness. You remember, I'm sure you've been in an experience where your friend calls you. You did this. Why? And then you start listening attentively. Like, hey, man, this person is not sober. So why do you wait till you're tipsy? It's alcohol. Like I said, that filter now is removed.
No filter.
Yeah. You see, I don't want to live filterless. I want to have a filter in my life.
Authentically yourself.
Yeah, that's why.
Your true self.
I'm able to speak. I don't swear at people anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more patient now. You understand? Yeah. Even the girl that I'm with, you know, because now we can, like I said, we can pray together. It's way easier when they're already saved. Unlike you trying to convert them. It's not easy. You can try. If you can get it right after 5 years, let's see, when you start fighting for real, having real problems, then she will remind you that, remember, I'm saved because of you. You took me from my mother's church.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing. You don't want to deal with that as a Christian.
How does your mom feel, just the last question before we close, with this new journey? I'm sure she's so happy
and proud
to see, you know?
One thing I noticed about my mom is that she trusts me now. Even financial. My mom couldn't give me $100 back then. Yeah. Like, she couldn't trust me with $100. Like, she couldn't say, my son, okay, you're coming home. All right, fine. Here's 500. Please pass by Cliques, and bring me this. No. She couldn't. But now she trusts me. You see the financial transactions.
You've earned it. Yeah.
And she once told me that, you know what? The day you will know you don't drink anymore is the day you have 20 rands in your pocket and it stays there for like a week, to a point where you forgot and you're trying to wash your clothes and you're like, that 20 rand is still here. But when you're drinking, it's not going to stay hours. You're going to buy a beer with it.
You know? And I always ask myself, like, people who drink have a lot of money. I mean, it's a very expensive addiction.
Yeah, very.
You know? Yeah. And even people who don't have money find money. It's like, I think not just alcohol, I think any addiction.
Yeah.
It's like how
you find means and ways and how much money it consumes, and you're actually looking at it like, geez, a year I must spend over 50K on this addiction.
Even more.
You know, I could have bought a car with that amount, you know?
Yeah. I remember, it's what the enemy, the devil, is using as a tool to destroy us all as young people.
To cause delays in your life.
Yeah. Like I said, the umbrella of alcohol has a lot going on.
Yeah,
so many things can go wrong. Yeah.
Extremely.
That's why it doesn't kill you immediately. It can
slow death.
Kill you slowly.
20 years you can be into it, and when you reflect back the things you missed out on.
And missed out on life. Life. Your life is gone.
Yeah. Now you're 30 years looking like you're 45. You know?
My goodness. Yeah. Sure. All right. Wow. We need to come to the end of this episode. We hope that you guys enjoyed that, because that was so meaningful for me. So educational. I think we haven't had a story like this before. And I think it's beautiful, especially in the economy that we live in today. Alcohol is a huge thing. Alcohol abuse is a huge thing, especially for young people, old people too.
Everyone.
We touched on everything, the struggles, the addiction, the recovery, the rehab, you know, finding God in the process, finding your self-identity, the filters. So I think it was such an informative episode. We look forward to what you have to say in the comment section below. Do you know someone who's struggling with alcohol addiction? Have you been through it? What are your views? What are your opinions? We look forward to all of that in the comment section below.
And shout out to that church that has like a rehabilitation center, because for me that's what churches should be about. You know, church should be like a safe haven. It should be that place that people run to and they find help. Big ups to them.
I'm here because of that journey.
Bless them. Do share your thoughts with us on our comment section below. And also, I know you are taking bookings, correct? To go speak to young people, whether it be schools, churches, anywhere, how
personal
is available.
Zoom call. I'm available.
I like that. That's convenient. You know, these days you just have to have internet and bam, there we are. So make sure that you do support him, support his ministry as he's trying to help. And I will leave the email or contact details for you in the description box.
For myself, Innocent.
And myself, Millicent. And of course, a friend of the show. It's bye for now. I've been through the most.